We're going to continue our series this morning, Exceed. It's hard to believe we are almost through this series. It's gone by fast, and I trust that it's been a help and a blessing to you and your spouse, where we've been learning, don't just meet your spouse's needs, but exceed them. How can we exceed in meeting the needs of our spouse? And we've been looking at many of them. Today, we're going to talk about exceeding her need for family commitment. Exceeding her need for family commitment. She needs us as husbands and fathers to be committed to our family. And that can be challenging. That can be overwhelming. That can be a lot of responsibility. And we want to break that down and study that today. And sometimes in the midst of it, fellas, we don't exactly hit the mark. I was reading this week and I thought I would share it with you. Men don't always say what they mean. And what does that mean? Well, when a man says it would take too long to explain, what he really means is I have no idea how it works. When a man says, take a break, honey, you're working way too hard, what he means is I can't hear the game over the vacuum cleaner. Would you please stop doing that? When he says, that's interesting, dear, what he really means is, are you still talking? And oh, when a man says, can I help you with dinner, sweetheart? What he means is, why isn't it ready yet? When a man says, oh, don't fuss, I just cut myself. It's no big deal, really, I'll be fine. What he means is, I've probably just severed a limb. I'm probably going to bleed to death, but I won't admit that I'm hurt, so please get over here and help me. When a man says, I can't find it, what he means is, it did not fall into my outstretched hand, and so I'm completely clueless as to where it may be. And then when a man says, I'm not lost, I know exactly where we are, what he really means is, no one will ever see us alive again. And sometimes in life, it's not really what we mean. But today we want to understand, how can we exceed in meeting this need of family commitment? How can we lead our marriages and lead our homes? The Bible says in Ephesians 6 in verse number 4, and you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And God challenges you and I that we have a role to play, and we are to bring our children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And many fathers here have children in the home. Some may be preparing for that in their life, and some at some point, as the Lord allows and maybe blesses in that way. But there's no doubt in our culture and our society today that our homes are in desperate need of a strong family commitment, a strong family unit. And dads, husbands, a big part of that rests on your shoulders. May I say it this way? You're not going to have a strong family if dad's not all in. You're not going to have a strong family if the husband and father is not doing his part. And many wives just desire for their husband to take a role, a leadership role in the family, committing himself to the development of the children, not leaving her to do that alone, but working together as a team. And a father being active in the home has a profound impact on the children. The Department of Justice released these stats saying that 63% of youth suicides are from fatherless homes, 90% of all homeless and runaway youths, 85% of children who exhibit behavioral disorders, 71% of high school dropouts, 70% of youths in state institutions, 75% of adolescent patients in substance abuse centers, and 85% of rapists motivated by displaced anger are all from fatherless homes. And we can look at America today and the breakdown of what's happening in our culture and society and where the youth are just running rampant. But oftentimes, if you dig a little deeper into that problem, there's homes with no dad. And it is quite possible to have a home with no dad, with a dad who lives there. Because even though he lives there, he's not involved. He's not participating. He's not helping. And he certainly is not committed. And when a wife at the heart level talks about desiring a father for her children, she's speaking of the expectations that she has that the husband would take a responsibility for a leadership role in the home concerning the children's upbringing. And so, men, I want us to look at the Word of God today and to study the Scriptures. What does it mean to exceed her need in the area of family commitment? And I want to see how we can exceed in being committed to the family that God has given to us. I believe, number one, it begins with the fact that a good father must be a manager. A good father must be a manager. They have to have oversight of the home. The buck stops here, so to speak. Why? Because ultimately the father will be held responsible for the home and therefore must manage it well. Every dad underneath the sound of my voice someday will give an account to the Lord for his management of his home. The Bible says in Ephesians that he is the head of the house. And so he has responsibility. He has authority concerning the home. He needs to lead it well. He needs to manage it properly. So what does a good manager look like? What does he have to know? How can he fulfill his responsibility? Well, letter A, he must know the strengths and weaknesses of those in whom you manage. Guys, we're not going to be good husbands if we don't know our wives. Now, I know that's super profound on a Sunday morning after Thanksgiving, all right? But we're going to have to dig deep and know who she is, okay? And we're not going to be great fathers if we don't know our children. We have to know them. We have to know their strengths and their weaknesses. The Bible says in Proverbs 27:23, "Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks and look well to thy herds." Now, many of you have successful careers in many different areas. And we could talk this afternoon, perhaps over a lunch table, about your career. And you could tell me in great detail what it involves and what it looks like to be a success. But I want to flip the table and ask you a question. What does it involve to successfully lead your family and manage it well? And what does success look like? And every one of us as dads should be able to articulate that process. Because far more important than climbing the corporate ladder or making money or setting money aside, and while there certainly is place for that, but far more important than that is how are we impacting and influencing our own children? What does their future look like, and what tangible input do we have in that process? Do we know it? And we're never going to be able to manage well unless we know them, their strengths and their weaknesses, how God has uniquely made them. And then letter B, if we're going to manage well, we must exercise self-control. I do a lot of family ministry and I love it. I do a lot of marriage counseling. I do a lot of family counseling, and I love it. I'm addicted to family ministry. It's something I am incredibly passionate about. I just did a wedding yesterday. I've got a wedding coming up this Saturday. I'm a fan of biblical marriage. I'm a fan of the Christian home, and that's my prayer for everyone in this room, and I pray for you this morning by name. And that's what I want to see happen in and through this class over and over and over again. But as I work with many families, one of the great problems that comes up is anger and the inability to harness that anger, to control that anger. And sometimes when anger is out of control, it's danger. And it brings great destruction to a marriage and to a home. So dads, husbands, we need to lead the way in exercising self-control. The Bible says in Proverbs 16:32, "He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city." Hey, it's not how much we can lift, it's not how far we can run, but he that is slow to anger. The Bible says in Proverbs 25:28, "He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls." Now, in Bible times, the walls were the defense mechanism of the city. If a city didn't have walls around it, it was vulnerable to everybody that would come and raid and do harm to the inhabitants of that city. Well, God says, fellas, if we don't have control of our own spirit, we are like a city without walls. We are vulnerable to everything around us, and everything has the potential to bring destruction. So we as men must have self-control. And I want to encourage us this morning, fellas, that if we're going to lead our homes, if we're going to manage them well, if we're going to lead our bride, and if we're going to lead our children, we have to model self-control. We can't be the kind of guys that fly off the handle, yell and scream, say bad words, throw stuff, punch stuff, slam doors, squeal tires, and all this kind of nonsense, and then expect our family to just snap to and to follow our great leadership. It doesn't work that way. We've got to earn that. And we've got to set the right example. And as men, we have to learn that it is manly to be under control. It's very masculine to be able to handle adversity and not change who you are. But just because you're a Christian and God lives inside you, you can handle stuff that you don't like or you would not otherwise choose for yourself, and you can roll through it. And that's so important that we know our family, that we're exercising self-control. Let us see if we're going to be a good manager. We must then engage in the ongoing enhancement of personal skills and exemplify high character. What does that mean? It means we've got to keep growing. We've got to keep developing in our own ability as a husband and a father and modeling that. Now, fellas, you get an A+ for being here this morning. You could have stayed home and said, I overdosed on turkey. I did too much pumpkin pie, too much, you know, whatever. And I just am in a coma, but you're here. You're to be commended for that. And I appreciate you being here, which says to me, I want to be a better husband. I want to be a better father. But you have to develop those skills. What do I mean by that? What I mean is, yes, we get an A for being here. But we fail the course if we leave what we learn here. We have to take what we learn in this class and apply it to our lives. We have to go home different. We have to interact with our bride differently. We have to lead our children differently. We have to train them according to the Word of God. They've got to watch in us an evolution of ourselves. They've got to watch in us a growth that is happening and it's transforming and where we are becoming more like Christ and less like who we really are. So we've got to continue to grow in the ability of our skills and in our example. The Bible says in Psalm 78, 72 of David that he fed them according to the integrity of his heart. There was the integrity in the model and example, and guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. He was growing in his ability as a king, but he was modeling the right example. By the way, if you know the whole story of David, you know that David faced temptation and tripped up as well. And sometimes we can model through success and failure. No man in this room is perfect, especially the one who's speaking. So my children are going to watch me in the duration of their upbringing in my home be imperfect. They're going to watch me be a jerk when I should be a good husband. They're going to watch me be an irresponsible father when I have my priorities out of line. That's going to happen. It already has, and it sure probably will again. Why? Because I am who I am. So what do I do with that? Well, I better model how to get topside. The Bible says a just man falls 7 times, yet riseth up again. We're not in this room comparing how many times we've fallen. We're in this room learning what to do when we do. Everyone in this room will fall. It's what you do next that counts. So learn to fall forward. Learn to learn from that. And model with your children. Man, Daddy shouldn't have said that. And I'm sorry. Boy, Daddy wasn't treating Mommy like he should have, and I apologize. That's not the way it should be done. And I've already apologized to God, but I want to apologize to you. Because you heard me, and you should have never heard that out of my mouth. And I'm sorry. Will you please forgive me? Daddy should have been there at that recital, and I wasn't. And my priorities just got out of whack, and I'm sorry. I want to know if you'll forgive me, and I'm going to do better with my schedule. These are things our kids should be hearing from us. They're not growing up in a perfect home, and I'm not putting down your home. None of our homes are perfect. But what I'm saying is we've got to consistently model. And when it's not what it should be, let's be transparent. Let's be vulnerable. Let's earn that. Let's show the growth that's happening. Then letter D, we need to abide by the instructions and the bylaws contained in the company policy manual. Now, we're talking about management here. How can we grow in our management at home? And here we're talking about know the Word of God. We have got to abide by the instructions and the bylaws contained in the company policy manual, the Word of God. The Bible says in Proverbs 24, verse 3, through wisdom is a house built, and by understanding it is established, and by knowledge shall all the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. What should be the guiding force of our home? God's Word. Our children should quickly learn in our homes that Daddy is subservient or is surrendered to the authority of the Word of God. If God says to do it, we do it. If God says refrain from it, we don't do it. It's just that simple. The Word of God has authority in our home. Daddy studies the Word of God. He leads our family to the Word of God, and it has authority in his life, and that is obvious. Fellas, can I be honest with you? That's pretty baseline stuff. But I'm telling you, the reality of it is, it's not evident in many homes. And I challenge me and I challenge you this morning, let that be evident in our home. May our children know that we know this book, that we're growing in our knowledge of the Word of God, and that our lives are being changed because of what we're learning from the Word of God. We're becoming more like Christ, and our children are watching it before their very eyes as Daddy becomes a better husband, a better father, and is obedient to the Word of God. So we must, first of all, be a good manager. Secondly, a good father must be a good minister. A good minister. Now, this doesn't mean that you've got to prepare a sermon every night, you know, before the kids go to bed, give them a three-point message and a sermon illustration or whatever. It doesn't mean that, all right? But it does mean that you have responsibility and the oversight of the spiritual well-being of those under your care, your bride and your children. Now, another word that describes this role of a husband and father is the word shepherd. You are the under-shepherd of your home. And there is a flock, your bride, if God's given you children, bless you with children, you've got some little sheep there, and they're in your living space, and they're dependent upon you to shepherd them. And when the Bible describes our shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, in Psalms 23, the Bible says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." When God is in His rightful place, we've got everything we need because we have Jesus Christ. Well, what will our children want? Well, good night. We're going into the Christmas season. And if our culture and society has their way, they'll have a list a mile long of all the things they want. That's a different lesson for a different day, but I strongly discourage that idea of kids making Christmas lists. If you want them to write something down, write down what they could give. It'll revolutionize Christmas in your home. But that's a different lesson for a different day. If we have time this year, we'll get to it, all right? But there's going to be a lot of things that our children want. And society will convince them that there's more and more and more and more that they need, whether it's the latest video game or more clothes or shoes or whatever. But God in His Word gives moms and dads responsibility to provide for the basic needs of their children, including the basic spiritual needs that they may have. So what are those? What are these needs that we are to provide and as dads that we need to make sure are being met in the hearts of our children? Letter A, spiritual guidance. Children need a father who is ministering to their spiritual needs. The Bible says in Proverbs 4, "Hear ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding, for I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law." So our homes need dads who are leading spiritually, providing spiritual guidance. Now, fellas, how can we do that? Number one, personally walk with God. Number two, pray for your children. Fellas, can I encourage you in your prayer list? That might be a piece of paper. It might be digital. However you do it, have a list for your wife. You say, "I don't even know what to pray for." Well, there's a few things in the Word of God. Text me, I'll give you a few ideas. Better yet, sit her down and ask her, "Sweetheart, I want to start praying for you every day by name. What are some things I could pray for you about?" Ask her. She'll tell you. Have a list you pray for your wife. Then, if God's blessed you with children, pray for your children by name and have a list. I have a list for Mariah, for Lydia, for Annalene, and for Joseph. And there's a list of things I'm praying for their lives. Pray for your children. Pray for them by name. Pray for them specifically. Have family devotions. I had one of our team members grab this for me this morning. When my children were young, this is where we started, the picture Bible. The picture Bible is God's Word in picture form. And here is the story of Queen Esther. Man, that's a great story. That is an awesome story. And it's all illustrated by picture. And I would sit down with my kids. And each story is only 5 or 6 pages. And I'd get done with one and I'd say, "All right, we'll learn tomorrow night." "Oh, no, read another one, You know, "All right, we'll read one more," you know. And I mean, they wanted to read and read and read and read. And it was the Word of God in picture form. And I had this when I was a kid. My kids had this. and it was awesome. Then we went to a devotional, and this one is A Word to the Wise. And what this does is this takes a proverb from the day. So today, November 26th, it would give us a verse from Proverbs chapter 26 and then a devotional thought, how to apply it. And at the bottom it says, so today's word to the wise. And it kind of gives direction for that particular day. And this was a great tool. Then, as our kids have gotten a little older, and what we're doing right now is we're taking the word of, or the book of Proverbs, and we're reading it. So Dad will read verse 1, Mom verse 2, Mariah verse 3, Lydia verse 4, Annalene verse 5, Joseph verse 6, and we'll go around it. As we're reading it, I'm kind of filing thoughts that I want to share when we're done, just little things that I want them to get from it. And there's a ton of other things you could do. But dads, I want to encourage you, you lead. If you want to look like Superman in your wife's eyes, lead. Take the reins of spiritual formation for your home and place that responsibility directly on the big shoulders that God gave you and say, I'm going to lead. And I'm going to get the family together after dinner, after breakfast, whenever it works for you, middle of the night, whatever you need to do, and say, hey, we're going to do some devotions. And we're going to read this, or Daddy's going to do this, and we're going to pray. And I would gladly help you, because every man in this room in God's strength is capable of doing that. But I'm telling you, having daily family devotions goes a long way in providing spiritual guidance in your home. Go to church, and you're here, and you're to be commended for that. But be faithful. Three to Thrive, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Serve God as a family. We recently changed our bus ministry schedule here at Lancaster Baptist Church. And one of the reasons we did that was so that families could serve on bus routes. I grew up in a Christian home, and when I was first, second, third grade, I worked on a bus route. I went out with Daddy on Saturdays, and we knocked on doors, and we talked to families, and we signed up adults and kids who needed to ride to church, and we'd go back out early Sunday morning, and we'd ride the bus, and kids would jump on, and we'd bring them to church, and we'd sing songs, and we'd teach Bible stories, and I grew up serving people, and it was a blessing. It was something I'm eternally grateful for. I want my children to serve. I want them to be involved in ministry. Look for opportunities to do that. Providing spiritual guidance. Letter B, spending time together. A real man is devoting his time to his family, scheduling it and making it happen in a priority. In Deuteronomy, we're challenged that we have much to teach our children and that we are to teach them diligently, talking of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down and when thou risest up. And I want to encourage all of us to make family time a priority, especially during this holiday season. A couple practical thoughts. Make sure you're having meals together as a family. Do whatever you have to do to the schedule, but get some meals together. We've lost in America culture and society. Mom, dad, kids at a table, hot food, no electronics. I'm telling you, in most homes, it doesn't exist. In most homes, the only place you see it's on Andy Griffith. It's just not a reality, and it's sad. A lot of ministry happens at that table right there. Hey, how you doing? How's your day? How's school? Everything good with your friends? What's going on? What's coming up? What do you want to talk about? And just talk. Just be a family. Just connect. It's so important. Having family nights, planning family nights, playing games, going for walks, doing a bike ride, taking a hike, decorating for Christmas, whatever. Make it a family endeavor. Attending church together, serving God together, having the family devotions we spoke of, spending time with your children and with each child individually each week. Letter C, it must involve training. Train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it. And dads, we need to be involved in training. Now, most of us and all of us certainly have married way over our head, and God has blessed us with an incredible wife. And if God's blessed us with children, then a wonderful mother and the contribution they make to the training of the children, I don't know that we can describe it. It's that big. But guys, it's not an excuse for us to do nothing. We've got to be involved. We've got to be involved in the training of our children. There's just something about when a dad says, Joseph, get over here. Now, there's just something mama can't do to do that. There is, we don't have time to get into the whole psychology of it, but there is a natural fear of Father that children have. And by the way, it's what we have towards our Heavenly Father. There is an honor, reverence that we want to please and we want to refrain from disappointing. And there is something innately built in the heart of a child where they want to know Daddy's happy. And Daddy needs to be involved in training, teaching, edifying, building up, helping children along this way, and making sure that we're helping to shepherd, to minister our children. And guys, we want to take a leadership role, managing well, ministering well. Lastly, a good father must be a model. We know that our talk talks and our walk talks, but our walk talks a lot louder than our talk talks. We've got to set the right example. In 2 Corinthians 3, you are the epistles written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as you are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. What does that mean? It means that God, or that our children, need to see God alive in us, that it is truly in our heart. The Bible says in Philippians 4, 9, the things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. So what is it, fellas, that we need to model? Letter A, a walk with God. A walk with God. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even to the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might see it, their hope in God, and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. Fellas, can we ask an honest question to ourselves here for a moment this afternoon? If our children's knowledge of God and his word were based solely on our investment in their life, what would that look like at this moment? If all Mariah, Lydia, Annalena, Joseph knew about God and the Bible was what I had taught them, what would that look like? That's a sobering question. And sometimes we get spoiled in a church like this because we have an amazing church. We have an amazing pastor. They all have amazing Sunday school teachers. If you're utilizing the Christian school, there's a five-day investment in their life. But none of that is an excuse for you and I to back off our own responsibility. We have a responsibility. And we've got to model that walk with God. They've got to see it's real at home. They've got to see it's real in us. They've got to see it's not just something we put off on Sunday and take off when we get home Sunday afternoon. They've got to see it's something real in us 24/7. They've got to see that model, the model of spirituality, the model of a walk with God, but let it be the model of integrity. The Bible says, my son, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways. They've got to see the integrity by which we live. They've got to know that we're willing to do the right thing, that we're willing to make the right call, that honesty and integrity is more valuable than this fast track or this whatever. They've got to see that in us. They can't see us go to Walmart, go to the self-checkout, pay for 5 of the 10 items and leave and act like it was no big deal. You say, oh, Brother Rule, that's not that big of a deal. It's a huge deal. Why? Because it's your example. It's your life. And if they don't see in Dad a model of integrity, honesty, character, where are they going to find it? They've got to see it in us. It's got to be real at home. This walk with God, this integrity, the letter C, affection. Affection. The Bible says in Proverbs 15, 17, better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a stalled ox and hatred therewith. Listen, fellas, many of you are working incredible hours in providing for your home, and to God be the glory for that. But can I challenge you? More importantly than the amount of money we're bringing home and the size of the roof we're putting over their heads and the name on the tag of their clothes is the love that they feel from us. Far better to go to Goodwill and clothe them for this school year and then be utterly convinced in their heart of our love than to have the name brand, whatever that may be, and tomorrow it'll change. But we're never there to even show them that love. They've got to know of our love. And it's got to be affectionate. It's got to be arms around them, hugs. It's got to be an expression of love. And can I just take a quick side note on two things very quickly? For every dad in here with a daughter, please listen to me. You say, Brother Rule, that's not my style. It's not the way I show love. Can I give you a motivation? There will be someone in her life soon who will gladly give her that. And it's not going to be who you want. So if you want any leverage, you better learn. That's got to come from you. That love, that affection, that adoration, that sweetheart, you look beautiful. Man, I can't believe God blessed us with you. That's got to come from you. It's got to come from your mouth, and it's got to come from your arms and your embraces. Also, dads, and to every man in this room, one of the greatest signs of affection you can ever show your children is loving their mom. Your children need to see you hugging mama, kissing mama. You need to embarrass your kids. Suzanne and I greeted and embraced the other day, and Annalene was waiting to ask her a question. And I gave her a hug, and we were kissing, you know. And finally, Annalene just got frustrated, and she just left, you know. And we both smiled, and we said, good. She needs to see that. That's good. You need to frustrate your kids. You need to embarrass them. You need to be like, oh, come on, Mom and Dad. That's a good thing. Why? Because deep down they're thinking, I hope I have something like that someday. They need to see it. And husbands, I want to encourage you, show it. And I'm not talking about being inappropriate or stupid. I'm not talking about that. Have some wisdom and discernment, all right? But they need to see that. And I'm telling you, God's blessed our class with some incredible, strong homes. But I have a passion at the very core of my being that His design would be a class of some very strong men and some men who would lead and manage well, some men who would minister and take on that responsibility of providing spiritual formation for the home, and men who would model. Not a perfect life, because none of us are going to do that, but model a sincere Christian life where we're truly doing our best to put the Word of God into practice. Now, fellas, can I encourage you? Take the discussion questions this week. I'm going to pull mine out real fast. And make sure your wife does these with you. I've given her three questions. I'd like you to ask her those. Ask her to fill them out. What does she think about this area? Then I've given you two questions. What adjustments? Is there something you need to discontinue? Think that through. Ask God to help you bring things to mind. And then some discussions to do together. Get together. Talk about your home. Is it strong? Is it pleasing to the Lord? Is it doing well? Does it need a slight adjustment to do better? Is there something that could be changed that would strengthen it? Let's talk about that this week and ask God to help us have strong homes. Fellas, let's exceed in meeting her need for family commitment. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. And we thank you for the privilege to gather together today to open your word and to learn. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us as husbands and fathers in this room to do all we can in the area of family. May we embrace the responsibility that we have to lead and to love. And may we be who you would have us be in our home. And may that exceed the need of our spouse. And may it be to the benefit of our children and for their futures that a daddy at home loved God, walked with God, and modeled that life for them. Lord, I pray that you bless our families and bless the men here today. Give them a wonderful week. Bring us back safely next Sunday is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.